involved. This coming last Wednesday, the weather kind of was hooky. If that's a bad word, I'm sorry. One time I was saying this thing. All you military guys know snafu. And I was saying that one time, a military guy pulled me aside. He said, I assume you don't know what that means. And I said, no, I don't. He said, well, I didn't think so, or you probably wouldn't be saying it. Anyway, we got a lot of great things about to come up. We're at the first of the year. Damien Broussard's going to be here on the 23rd to minister here in the sanctuary and on a Wednesday night and in the prophetic and things. So we got a lot. And then this coming Wednesday night, I plan to do this last Wednesday, but this coming Wednesday night, I'm going to give the word that I plan to give last Wednesday for 2019. And so I'm going to be doing that this coming Wednesday night. So look forward to seeing you all there. Last Sunday, we read a passage of Scripture that really is serving as a motivator for what I'm going to be sharing with you over the next few weeks. God's been stirring something inside of me for a while, and I've just been waiting for the right time to deliver it. But the word that we looked at last week was a word out of Psalm 24. You remember that? And I want to go back to that today, and I want to reiterate a couple of things, and then we're going to jump off from there and see what God is saying to us. In Psalm chapter 24, in verses 3 through 5, it says this, "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord?" It doesn't say everyone will ascend into the hill of the Lord. It says, "Who may?" Who will? Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully, that person shall receive blessing from the Lord. How many of you are wanting to be blessed this year? That person will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Now, when the nation of Israel was in the Sinai wilderness, God called from the mountaintop to Moses. And he called to Moses to come up and commune with him. And God is calling people in this church right now to join him on the mountaintop. God's calling people. God's calling you to join him on the mountaintop. How many of you want to go up to high places with God? How many mountain climbers do I have in here today? Praise God. Now, who did Psalm 24 say is going to make the climb? Everyone, doesn't matter how you live. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Clean hands being indicative of what we do, pure heart being indicative of our motivation and our attitude. As we make the climb, brothers and sisters, we're going to be finding out something about God that you can't learn anywhere else but on the climb. Let me say that again. As we ascend the hill of God, we are going to be finding something out about God as we make that climb that we're not going to be able to know any other way other than in that ascension. And the change that that climb is going to produce in our lives is going to be a powerful one. It's going to be a dramatic, dramatic change as we get to know some things about God in a deeper fashion than we've ever known before. So are you ready to make the climb? The Bible tells us that God is holy. Now, I'm going to say something because this really serves as a foundation for what I want to talk about over the next few weeks. But the doctrine of holiness is so far beyond anything in our ordinary experience that we really have no comparisons in this world to help us to understand it. I'll say that again. The doctrine of holiness, our understanding of holiness, holiness is so far beyond anything in our ordinary experience, that we have no comparisons in this world that we can look at, nothing we can look at to help us to understand it. Holiness is something that can only be learned through a revelation from God of God. A revelation from God of God. Now in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 3, Isaiah said this, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord." How many of you want to see the Lord? Boy, that's the whole reason we make the climb. And if you're not going to climb, then you're not going to experience what we're going to talk about today. You don't experience this at the bottom of the hill. The children of Israel, when they were in their wilderness wanderings, God called them to the bottom of Mount Sinai. And He wanted every single one of the children of Israel to be able to see His glory. Not just Moses, all of them. But when the children of Israel began to get a glimpse into who they were following and who they were serving, a primary revelation began to come to them. And this primary revelation is one we're going to talk about over the next few weeks. But they began to have a revelation of God's holiness. And when they saw God's holiness, they said, guess what? We're not going to be mountain climbers anymore. Moses, you can climb the mountain. You go up there, you commune with God, and then you come back and you tell us what God said. Listen, regurgitated revelation is not going to be good enough for this hour. Okay? I can't climb the mountain for you and then see any transformation in your life. If you want to see transformation in your life, you're going to have to become a mountain climber. Isaiah said, "I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. And above it stood seraphim." Say, what in the world is that? Those are angels that were created to stand in the presence of God to handle the things that were pure and holy. Seraphim, the word means fiery ones. They were the ones of fire. And each one of them had six wings. Not all angels had six wings, but the seraphim did. And with two, the seraphim covered His face, and with two, He covered His feet, and with two, He flew. And one cried out to the other one and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with His glory." So even the angels themselves, when they stand in the presence of God, that one of the primary revelations that they get of God was His holiness. And the angels themselves, they had to have six wings, because with two wings they covered their face. Because the revelation was such an amazing and awesome one. With two wings they covered their feet and said, "We better be careful where we walk." And what our reactions to this are, to this holiness that we've seen. But it was a primary revelation. And when Isaiah saw this revelation later, his reaction to it was, "Woe is me, for I am undone, for my eyes have seen the Lord Almighty." Now notice that the angel, when he was viewing God, he used a repetitive emphasis. He used the word holy to describe God, but he said it three times instead of once. Everybody notice that? He said, "Holy, holy, holy." Not "holy is the Lord of hosts." He said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." Now, numbers are important in the Bible. And the number three is the number of the Trinity. So that's probably one reason why he said holy three times. But there's a lot more to it than that. The number three also speaks of divine wholeness, completeness, perfection, and then it means also multiplication. So the reason he said holy, 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 he was sending us a message. He was saying the glory and the holiness of God goes on forever. It cannot be adequately described by words. So he used a multiplier to describe it. If not, he would have had to do this. Holy, 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 I'm tired. You take over, other seraphim. Holy, 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 holy. Do you see what I'm saying? They would have had to do that, and the whole Bible would have been taken up with this one thing of holy. So they used a biblical multiplier. The number three, holy, 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 to let us know that the holiness of God cannot be described, that it is something far above anything we can understand. And then it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. Any description other than that that would have been used would have fallen way short of telling the true story of who God is. But even that was not enough. Then the angel said, the whole earth is full of His glory. The angel said, God's holiness and His glory is filling everything. There's not a place I can look that I don't see it. How great is the holiness of God? It fills the whole existence. It fills everything that we know. And the words of the angel are intended to take your imagination where it has never gone before. The angel's words are intended to take your imagination to a place it's never gone before. The words of the angel are meant to blow your mind with the thought that God is unlike anything else you've ever encountered. The words of the angel are meant to humble you with the realization that God is fundamentally different than you, from you. He's fundamentally different from you. The words of the angel give the revelation that God is someone greater than anyone you have ever encountered before. Now, the translation for holiness comes from the Hebrew word kadosh. And the Hebrew word kadosh means to cut. And here's what that means. It means to be cut off or separate from everything else. To be in a class all of your own. Distinct from anything before or after you. To be entirely morally pure all the time, in every way possible. So, in this instance, the only way that we can know holiness is by knowing a person. Holiness is not an idea or a thought. Holiness is a person. God is holy, and He is the only one, everybody say the only one that possesses this unique quality. The only one. And how is His holiness revealed? Holiness is not a characteristic of God. It's God's essence. And it's revealed in everything He does, everything He thinks, everything He desires, everything He speaks. All of it is utterly holy. Utterly holy. Now, so think of this. God is holy in His love. Now, when most of us look at God, if your neighbor's nodding off, give put a holy slap on him. Most of us think of God as being some type of multifaceted being. And one of His aspects is that He's love. And then over here, He has another aspect, which is holiness, which is completely incongruent with His aspect or characteristic of being love. And with us making that mistake in our assumptions of who God is, then here's what we do. We say, well, God loves me, and so therefore He excuses some ungodly things that I do. Because He loves me. Because He's love, He overlooks those things. Listen, God loves in His holiness. You can't separate God's love from God's holiness. You can't separate it. Because when God's love is acting toward you, so is His holiness in play. I have never had God excuse one thing in my life. Never. Ever. Ever. He doesn't say, that's okay, I understand you know. You know, I'm blinking, I'm looking the other way. If God's eyes are upon you, then He's looking at you through eyes of holiness. So God is holy in his love. God is holy in his power. God is holy in his anger. God's not doesn't fly off the handle and just do arbitrary things. God's holiness control is in play in his anger. He's holy in his justice. He's holy in his wisdom. He's holy in his grace. And if we don't get a grip on the holiness of God, we're going to make a lot of mistakes, and we're going to have a lot of assumptions that are going to happen in our life that are going to be absolutely, positively wrong. We're going to begin to excuse things in our lives that are inexcusable in the eyes of God. Now, I'm not talking about sinless perfection, but I'm talking about understanding God. I'm talking about understanding who God is. God understands that you're learning. God understands that you're growing. But you can't climb that mountain and see Him without seeing His holiness. And when you begin to view His holiness, it begins to affect you and change you. If you have any desire to continue the climb or to be close to God, who's going to dwell in His holy place? How many of you want to dwell in the holy place this year? You're going to get a glimpse of something there that's going to change your life. You're going to see God. I have a lot of people tell me, well, I love the Lord, but I'm only human. And when I hear that is, I'm only human, therefore I'm excusing the things that I do wrong out of my humanity, and God understands that, and so He's okay with that. Let me tell you something. God forgives me of my sins, but He expects me to change. Now, that would be a bad expectation if the power wasn't available to make it happen. But the power is. When I go to God and I repent, some of you don't know what repentance really is. Repentance is not just telling God you're sorry, please don't hold that against me. Repentance is, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm going through your power and holiness a different direction, and that's not going to appear in my life. It's not going to stay in my life. Some of us just think that, Lord, forgive me, don't hold that against me, get me out of trouble. That's not what repentance is. Repentance is recognition, revelation, and transformation. And if transformation's not part of repentance, then repentance wasn't real. There's such a thing as false repentance. We can repent falsely for some other reason other than to change and be like God. Okay? David made a lot of mistakes, but he was a true repenter. Saul made a lot of mistakes, but he was a false repenter. The outcome of their lives was very different. And you could argue the fact that David committed some sins that were worse than Saul's. If we want to sit here, although all sin is sin. But if we're going to sit here and judge it, we could say, well, you know, Saul didn't kill his best friend, didn't have sex with his best friend's, one of his closest men's wives, and then covered up by murdering him. Guy who gave his life for David on multiple occasions. But David would truly repent. And in Psalm 51, you see David's prayer of repentance. Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. What type of spirit? I know my sin has been an affront to your holiness. God, I want your holiness to change me. I want your holiness to change me. I want it to change me. And you can't really be in fellowship with God and not be changed by His holiness. You can't be. If you're going to be close to God, then one of the things you're going to notice is His holiness. And His holiness, if you seek to abide there, the only way you're going to be able to abide there is be changed by His holiness. It's the only way you're going to be able to abide in that place of intimacy with God. Now, God's not mad at you, and He doesn't hate you. Yes, He does understand how we're created. But this whole thing is a process of fellowship and transformation. So why did you do that? Because it was making a noise. Is that okay? Hopefully my pants are zipped, I hope. Pastor's worst nightmare. Open up, ye ancient gates. They're open, Pastor. But see, the difference, the understanding of this and the submission to this makes the whole difference in the lives of those to whom Jesus is able to say, I knew you rather than I never knew you. Because there's going to be a lot of people who are going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these things? Weren't we home group leaders? Weren't we all this kind of stuff? Didn't we work in the children's ministry? Didn't we go to small groups? Didn't we do all those things? But the key is dwelling with you never changed us. Not really. One of the things that I have learned in my life is the longer that you live with God, two things are going to become abundantly clear to you. One, God is love. And the things that He does in our lives and the way He works with us and deals with us, His love is just overwhelming. But another thing you're going to come to an understanding of the longer and the closer you walk with God is, ain't nobody else like Him. He is holy, 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 holy. He doesn't have an impure thought, an impure action, any of those type of things. Okay? And so if we're going to climb the hill, then we're going to get a revelation. How many of you say, Pastor, it's what you're talking to me about's a tiny bit scary, but I still want to be a hill climber. I still want to go. I can relate totally to how you feel. Okay? But God will cover and help the hill climber. He will help the hill climber. Okay? But if you want to get up there and you want to be able to abide in that place, then you're going to have to be open to the fact that God is a lot different than you've ever thought about or known or experienced in the degree of His holiness. I have argued with God over things I've done. I've tried to get Him to accept some excuses over some stuff. God won't do that. Because His presence is changing the essence of my life. It's changing that essence. And sometimes it is like a big knife. When you're in the presence of God, it's almost like a big knife comes and He begins to cut off things that are not holy in our lives. And part of that knife is we try to get Him to accept it and excuse it, and He won't do that. But I'm going to tell you, those who are going to go into that place and be willing to be changed by the experience, this is going to be your year of blessing. Blessing from the Lord. Blessing from the Lord. I'm going to give you a little precursor into Wednesday night, then I'm done. We're in the Jewish year 5779. Every Jewish letter is a number, and then every one of those has a meaning behind it, okay? Five being the number of grace, seven being the number of perfection. So we've got 77. I know Pastor Troy Brewer said 77 is the number of the church. I don't have any problem with that. 777, I guess, would be the number of God. But the number of the church. But nine is an interesting number. Nine has a dual meaning. Nine can mean fruitfulness, but it can also mean judgment. Now, we see those things as being dichotomous things, but they're not. They work together. They work together. So you can be the type of person that can be ready to climb the hill and see God's judgment work in your life in mercy and strength and help and transformation as He cuts off things out of your life so that you can produce more fruit. Or you can refuse that, stay at the bottom of the hill and just get the judgment part and not the fruitfulness. That's kind of where we are as the body of Christ. There's been times that God has overlooked, but not anymore. We're at a period of time. Jesus is about to return. Things have got to get in order. Amen? Things have got to get in order. Jesus is about to return. And I believe He's going to blow through this place with one more mighty wind. And He intends to use you. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a part of it. So we're going to climb together. And we're going to see things that very few humans get to see. And you're going to be able, like Isaiah, to say, when you look back on 2019, you're going to be able to look back and say, that was the year I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for everything that You've done. Lord, we want our hearts so badly want to go where You are, that we're willing to make the climb. We hear You calling us from the mountaintop. And we say, yes, Lord, here we come. And we know on that climb we're going to encounter amazing, incredible, unspeakable things that no words can describe adequately. And we're going to see God things. And we're going to experience God moments. So, Lord, I'm coming. If you're on that climb, just tell the Lord, I'm coming, Lord. Here I come. Here I come, and I trust You. Make me into whatever You want to make me into. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.